Welcome to the IC Maidan podcast. We are so glad that you've chosen to listen online. If you would like to know more about who we are, why we exist, our service times and location, or how you can get involved, then check out our website at icmaidan.com. We hope you enjoy the message today.
All right, good morning. Wow, that was so cool. Can we give a hand to the staff who put that slide together, or the whatever you call that, graphic, yeah. I'm not very techie. I don't even know words like graphic. The other thing is I wanted to give a hand to the staff. Man, I asked them, could I have a tree on Sunday? And I was thinking it'd be like in a pot right here beside me, but this is amazing. So can we give the staff a hand? You'll see why the tree is relevant today later, but man, I was thinking if you ask the staff at IC Maidan for a tree, you get a tree. And that is a tree. Man, it has been an amazing few weeks with Pastor Ed Teo a few weeks ago, if you were here for that, from ICA Hong Kong. Then Pastor Carrie and Pastor Adam finishing our series, Living Generously. Then we had a few of us go to Kuala Lumpur for some training from Hillsong and a seminar there, which was amazing. Then this last week we had two pastors from Elevation Church, from Pastor Stephen Furtick's church, come here to our church and do some training with our staff and leaders. Man, it was just so amazing. We believe we should always keep learning and keep studying and keep getting better, right? If we ever stop learning, no matter what we do in life, if we ever get to a point where we quit learning, we've put the lid on our potential, right? If you quit researching or quit reading or quit studying, that's as high as you're going to get. So as a church staff and church leaders, we're constantly looking for, hey, we want to be trained by the best. We want to figure out the best, most innovative ways to reach the lost. So, man, it's been a great time. One other little bit of news that I thought would be interesting to you guys, because this is something that you were a part of. When the Elevation guys came here, they had popped by KL first and came here with a pastor named Vincent. Pastor Vincent is a church planter in Kuala Lumpur. He planted a church last Sunday. Last Sunday was the first Sunday. They had 80 people in service, and 5 people accepted Jesus that day. So that's amazing, right? Yeah, give a hand for that. That's worth clapping for. And in a minute, you're going to clap for yourself. Through your giving every week, we put money aside for missions, local, national, and international. And so when Pastor Vincent was here and we met him and heard what he was doing, we thought, man, this is someone to invest in. So we gave money to pay for, it was enough to pay rent for their church for a whole month. So that's from you guys. So give yourselves a hand. You didn't even know it this week, but you were helping a church planter in Kuala Lumpur. That's how the church works, right? It was so amazing to be able to do that. Maybe you notice my voice is a little rough today. For some reason, I lost my voice on Wednesday, and this is the best it got today. So I mixed myself up some water and honey and lemon. So that's supposed to help your... When I was a kid, my stepdad would make this, but it wasn't water. It had whiskey in it. Anyone's dad give you whiskey when you're a kid? I didn't cough much as a kid, but I was an alcoholic by the time I was 10. No, I'm just kidding about that. But this is just water. Whoa. No, it's just water. It's just water. I'm excited about today. Today is Palm Sunday, and we're going to talk a little bit about Palm Sunday and the week that this kicked off for Jesus. This was the beginning of Holy Week or the Passion Week, whatever you want to call it there, but it began on Palm Sunday. So we have some slides, and we'll show you some of the events of the week, and then I want to backtrack and look at some things that happened just before Palm Sunday. If you remember this day, Palm Sunday, it began royally because the people were welcoming him as a king entering in Jerusalem, and they were saying, "Blessed is the king who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest." That was Sunday, the triumphal entry, Jesus riding into Jerusalem. Then on Monday, you know, he had the day there. On Monday, when they come back into Jerusalem, he and his disciples, it was a different experience. On the way in, he passed a fig tree, and went to get a fig, some fruit to eat. There was no fruit there. So Jesus cursed the tree and said, may you never bear fruit again. I mean, this is Jesus in the last week of his life on earth. He meant business. He was teaching his disciples. Imagine if it's your last week. Man, I've got to really make sure they understand these things. I've been with them for 3 years, but they need to understand that you have to bear fruit. A fig tree should have what on it? Figs, right? So it was an example. That tree had no fruit. Christians should have Christian fruit. Followers of Jesus should have fruit that looks and tastes and smells like Jesus. So he's, even on this day in the last week, he's doing something that has so much symbolism and so much power to the disciples. And then it says Jesus weeps over Jerusalem. We read this in Luke 19, verses 41 through 44. And when he drew near and saw the city, he wept over it. So Jesus was crying, and he said, would that you, even you, had known on this day the things that make for peace. But now they are hidden from your eyes. For the days will come upon you when your enemies will set up a barricade around you and surround you and hem you in on every side and tear you down to the ground, you and your children within you. And they will not leave one stone upon another in you because you did not know the time of your visitation. I want you to remember that because we're going to look at that later. The people did not know the time of their visitation. Then Jesus, also on Monday, we see him clearing out the corruption in the temple. This was his second time to do that. He had done that early on in his ministry. Now, 3 years later, he's at the temple clearing it out again, clearing out the corruption and the manipulation. That's something that Jesus will never tolerate, and that is people in the name of his church taking advantage of other people. He won't tolerate that. When he went back and saw that going on, he was cleansing the temple. This isn't the time where he had the whip and flipping tables. That was his first time clearing the temple, but this time he's back clearing out the same things. And he says, my Father's house is a place of prayer, but you have turned it into a den of thieves. Jesus makes it clear to us that church is no place for corruption or manipulation or politics or fights for power. His Father's house is a house of prayer. Have you ever felt frustrated with religion? I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand. Maybe you wouldn't be comfortable with the people around you. Although probably most of us would raise our hands. Have you ever been frustrated to the point where you've said, I'm not even a religious person. I don't like religion. It's not that bad because that means you're like Jesus. Jesus didn't like religion. When Jesus saw people just being religious, and I mean in the negative sense, just playing church, playing like God's people, he didn't tolerate that. He cleansed the temple. He said, this is not who my Father is. This is not what my church should look like. This is not what my Father is about. He cleaned out the corruption from the temple on Monday. Then on Tuesday, he continues teaching, and he's teaching parables. You can follow this along in Scripture. This is the day where he sees the woman give the 2 small coins in the offering. Remember, we talked about that a few weeks ago. That was on Tuesday. Then he talks more about the destruction of the temple and about his return. On Wednesday, after 2 busy days, he takes a day of rest. And most accounts say it was probably in Bethany with his friends, Mary and Martha and Lazarus. And it was on Wednesday, while Jesus was resting, that Judas agrees to betray Jesus. Then on Thursday, there's the Passover and the Last Supper. Jesus washes his disciples' feet. You know, all of these things he's preparing for his last moments on earth. And he shows us the best position we can be in is the position of serving others. That the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Creator of everything would lower himself to wash the feet of his disciples. He was showing us, hey, this is the highest position. Serve other people. this is the highest position you can be in, to love other people. So he's teaching his disciples. And later that day on Thursday, late that night, is when he went to pray in the Garden of Gethsemane. In the early morning hours of Friday, just after midnight, is when Judas betrays him in the garden. Jesus is arrested. He's taken to trial. This is when we see Peter deny him three times. And then as Jesus' execution is being planned, Judas is so filled with remorse that he tosses the money that he was paid on the ground, and he goes and kills himself because he realizes what he had done. The remorse was too great. All of this happened approximately before 6 a.m. on Friday morning. We know that because Peter denied Jesus three times, and then the rooster crowed, showing us that it was sunrise. So all of this before sunrise. It was a busy Friday. Then after 6 a.m., we see Jesus standing before Pilate, then before Herod. Then he's standing before Pilate again, and Pilate gives the choice, would you like me to set Jesus free or let me set Barabbas free? And the people say, Barabbas. And so he sets Barabbas free, and Jesus, in just 5 days, goes from the people shouting, blessed be the King who comes in the name of the Lord, to the people shouting, crucify him, crucify him, crucify him. All of this in just 5 days. Why? Because the people didn't know the time of their visitation. The people didn't know the time of their visitation. They had been waiting for Jesus. They had been waiting for a Savior, and they didn't recognize that he was visiting them right then and there. There he was. They didn't know the time. Jesus wasn't who they wanted him to be. He wasn't who they wanted him to be. They were looking for something else. He couldn't fit into their religion. Do you ever feel like you don't fit into a religion? That's a good thing. These guys were like, hey, Jesus doesn't fit. He didn't meet their expectations. They couldn't control him. They couldn't manipulate him. He wasn't moved by money or position or power. We don't want this guy. We can't move him. He's only moved by God. Church politics didn't change his mind. He wasn't interested in those things. They wanted a king to come in their image, and they didn't realize that the king standing there was the one whose image they were created in. They were missing it. They wanted a symbol of strength, and Jesus was a symbol of sacrifice. They didn't recognize that the strength was in the sacrifice. The people wanted a mascot to represent their cause, but Jesus was the Messiah who came to save the lost. The people wanted an idol to represent their religion, but Jesus is the King of Kings who represents the kingdom. People want a puppet. People want a puppet to represent their own denomination, but Jesus is the Son of God who came to save every people, tribe, and nation. It's bigger. There's a kingdom involved. It's bigger than any one church or any one denomination. That's why when we invested in Pastor Vincent, we didn't ask him, hey, what church are you a part of? What's your denomination? We looked at his heart. We saw what he was about. Man, he's about the kingdom of God. He's about Jesus. Nothing else mattered after that. He's not a part of our organization. He didn't plant IC Kuala Lumpur, although that would be pretty cool. You know, he planted Activation Church. It has no connection with us other than the fact that we're all part of the same kingdom. So we said, hey, you're our brother. We'll invest in you. That's what the kingdom's about. This isn't the one that the people were looking for. Jesus will not be who you want him to be, but he will always be everything you need him to be. That's who Jesus is. After this, Jesus is whipped and mocked and beaten and tortured and crucified. They had put the crown of thorns on his head, and then darkness falls over the land, and at approximately 3 p.m., Jesus breathed his last breath. That's the Passion Week. That's the Holy Week. That's from Palm Sunday to Friday evening, a week that changed history. today I want to take a few more moments and look back to just before Jesus entered Jerusalem, just before the day that we're remembering today, just before Palm Sunday. We'll start by checking out just a short video. So let's take a look at this.
All taxes must be paid in full.
Take it away.
No, go.
They're all Jews. How can they live with themselves? Our own people working for Rome. These people make me sick.
Collaborators, let's move on.
They're stinking vermin. You should keep your distance from them.
Two men went to the temple to pray. One a Pharisee, and the other one a tax collector. The Pharisee prayed, "God, I thank you that I'm not like other men. Thieves, adulterers, or this tax collector. But the tax collector didn't even look up to heaven. He said, God, have mercy on me. I'm a sinner. God bless the tax collector, not the Pharisee. Anyone who praises himself will be humbled. And anyone who humbles himself will be praised. Matthew, come.
To follow him. One has to wonder of the sins committed by his other followers.
Wow. This is Jesus still on his way to Jerusalem, and he tells this parable, this story, one of my favorite stories in the Bible. And I love this. Man, they must have felt the same about taxes back then as we do today, right? Because when they represented sinners, it was the tax collector. So maybe we still relate today. Oh, the tax collector. Jesus had a lot of interaction with tax collectors. And even in this story, the tax collector that he's recognizing, and he's comparing this one that everyone saw as the worst sinner there, the one cheating them and taking their money, and he compared him to the one that considered himself holy and religious. And he said it was the tax collector's prayer that got God's attention. Not the one that distracts us as humans. It's not the one saying, God, I'm so happy that I'm not like all the rest of these people. But the one who lowered his head humbly and said, God, have mercy on me. I'm a sinner. Jesus has this interaction with this tax collector, and then he keeps on moving toward Jerusalem and comes to a place called Jericho and meets another tax collector. This time, not just a regular tax collector. This is the chief tax collector. We read this account in Luke chapter 19, verses 1 through 10. And I want to warn you in advance, this is a dangerous passage of Scripture. So I hope you're ready for something dangerous this morning. These 10 verses will change your life. These 10 verses in the Bible are the entire gospel in miniature size. It's like the mini gospel. In just these 10 verses, if you just read these 10 verses of the Bible, this alone would change your life. And Zacchaeus' story, it's the tax collector we're going to meet, he could tell you everything you need to know to get closer to Jesus and to walk with Jesus and to really know Jesus. So let's look at Luke chapter 19, verses 1 through 2. This is after the interaction with the other tax collector. Jesus continues toward Jerusalem. He enters Jericho and was passing through. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was rich, and he was seeking to see who Jesus was. But on account of the crowd, he could not, because he was small in stature. So he ran on ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him. That's why we have a tree. Now it all makes sense, right? For he was about to pass that way. He climbs in the tree to see Jesus because he knows Jesus is passing by. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today." So he hurried and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, the religious people, they all grumbled, "He has gone in to be the guest of a man who is a sinner." And Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, "Behold, Lord, half of my goods I'll give to the poor. And if I have defrauded or cheated anyone of anything, I will restore it four times." And Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, since he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." And think about this story of this small, humble man, a sinner. Everyone knew he was a sinner. And this experience he has with Jesus. You know, there's even a song about Zacchaeus. When I was a kid in Sunday school, we would sing about him. I'm not going to try to sing because my voice is horrible, and that's just a good excuse, because if my voice was at 100%, my singing is still horrible. But the song says, "Zacchaeus was a wee little man. A wee little man was he. He climbed up in a sycamore tree for the Lord he wanted to see." And then it says, "And when the Savior passed that way, he looked up in the tree and said, 'Zacchaeus, you come down, for I'm going to your house today. For I'm going to your house today.' Zacchaeus was a wee little man, but a happy man was he. For he had seen the Lord that day, and a happy man was he. And a very happy man was he." It's a cool song. We always made Zacchaeus unbelievably short. Zacchaeus was a wee little man. That had to be some tree. He climbed for weeks. He wasn't really that short. He was a short guy. And here's Zacchaeus, and we can learn everything we need to know from him today. What would Zacchaeus tell us about how to get close to Jesus? Point number one is seek him until you see him. If you want to get close to Jesus, Zacchaeus would say you need to seek him until you see him. Verse 3, it says, "And he was seeking to see who Jesus was." Jesus does not care about position. That's why the Pharisees didn't like who he was. He couldn't be manipulated. He couldn't be moved. He couldn't be corrupted. He couldn't be bought to say certain things from the platform. He wasn't like that. Jesus isn't interested in position. He doesn't care about your position, but he does care about your posture. He cares about your posture, a posture of humility. Jesus noticed in that tax collector that he didn't even lift his head to heaven. He lowered his head. A posture of seeking. If you're here today, and I know many of you are here today seeking Jesus, there's many people here every single week just like you. They're not sure exactly about Jesus yet. I'm not completely sure who he is. I'm not completely sure about this Son of God thing, but I'm coming because I'm seeking to see who he is. That's a posture that will get God's attention. So if you're here seeking, that's a good posture. When Zacchaeus was seeking, Jesus stopped and looked at him. You don't have to know everything yet. You don't have to even say, hey, I've made a decision, I'm a Christian. You don't even have to be to that point yet where I've been baptized now. Maybe God will pay attention to me. If you're here and you're seeking him, you have his attention. Seek him until you see him. Your posture matters, a posture of humility, a posture of seeking. Think about a posture of humility. Imagine Zacchaeus, a short man, probably teased already for being short. I mean, if it's mentioned you're short, that means you're shorter than everyone else, you know? So he's short. He's wealthy. He's a man of position, the chief tax collector. Known around town, he probably could walk around with his head held high or his nose up in the air. It's Zacchaeus, the chief tax collector. He has money. He has everything. He has position. He has power. He has a title. And here's this man, and let's also remember he's wearing a robe and sandals. And he decides, you know what? I'm going to climb this tree because I want to see Jesus. Just like a little kid. How many of you climbed trees when you were little? I used to climb trees at my granddad's house. He had a pecan tree in the yard. I would climb and try to shake pecans out. It's like a nut. We had a tree house. My granddad built us a little house in the tree, just a playhouse. So it's like a kid thing. And here Zacchaeus, a grown man, a wealthy man with position and title, and he doesn't care about any of that. He wants to see Jesus, and he's tired of things blocking his view. So he looks around and sees a tree, and here this grown man starts climbing up the tree. And that is a posture of seeking. That's a posture of humility. That's a posture of sincerity. I'm sincere. I'm serious. I want to see Jesus. And I believe so many of you are here today and you have that posture. And I really want to see him. I really want to see him. Then the second thing that Zacchaeus would tell us is that you need to climb until you see him. He saw that tree and he ran and he climbed up the tree to see Jesus as Jesus was passing by. This posture of humility. I made an acronym of CLIMB that can help us to remember. Because this is what I believe that was going on in Zacchaeus' mind. He had gotten to a point in his life where he said, I'm going to chase him like I mean business. I'm going to chase him. Nothing's going to stand in my way. I can't see because of this crowd. I'm tired of being from the back of the crowd seeing Jesus from a distance. I'm tired of there being things in my way, and I can only get this close to Jesus because I'm too small, I'm too short, the crowd's in front of me, and he's all the way out there, and he said, I'm going to chase him like I mean business. The phrase, like I mean business, means I'm not playing around anymore. I'm tired of just being a good church person. I'm tired of just living my life and playing around. I'm tired of just being a Christian on Sunday and the rest of the week is me. I'm tired of that. I want to chase him like I mean business. I'm going to climb. Zacchaeus was serious. He had decided, I'm tired of watching Jesus from behind the crowd. Maybe you're here today and you feel like that. Man, I'm tired of seeing Jesus from way back here. I've heard about him. I know about him. But I still feel like there's so much distance. Maybe you're here and you're saying, I'm tired of seeing Jesus from behind my sin. I'm tired of seeing Jesus from behind my shame and the guilt of my past. I'm tired of just watching him from back here. I'm tired of seeing him from behind this hurt in my life. I'm tired of seeing him from behind my pride because I can't get this posture of humility because my position is too important. I'm tired of seeing Jesus from back here. I want to climb. I want to climb. I'm tired of seeing Jesus from a distance. Have you ever had that point in your life where you felt like, man, I'm tired of seeing Jesus from behind people that I think are closer to him? And even when you're in church, you could be serving God, you could be in ministry, and every time you see Jesus, you see the people that are closer to him than you are. And you just get tired of it. I want to be that close to Jesus. I want to be right there on the front, right next to him. I'm tired of watching from back here. That's when you've come to the point in your life where you're ready to climb. where you're ready to say, I'm going to chase him like I mean business. Nothing else matters. Position doesn't matter. I'm going to change my posture and I'm going to climb. I'm going to look around at whatever I need to climb so I can see him. I'm tired of seeing him from behind the crowd. I'm tired of seeing him from behind my bitterness, from behind an offense. Man, someone offended me, and every time I try to see Jesus, I just see this thing that was done to me. I can't get past it. I just see this disappointment. There's Jesus, and there's a disappointment between me and Jesus. There's a hurt. There's a problem. I try to see Jesus, but I see this problem bigger than Jesus. You've got to climb. And if you want to see Jesus in the lives of your kids, you're going to have to climb. If you want to see Jesus in your marriage, you've got to decide to climb. You want to see Jesus in your family, climb. In your workplace, in your school, in this city. Man, if we want to see Jesus in the city of Maidon, we have to climb. We got to look for a tree and say, hey, I'm tired of just looking like religious people. I'm tired of just looking like a good church person. I'm ready to climb so I can really see Jesus. I don't want to just hear about him. I want to see him. I don't want to see from the back of the crowd anymore. The time to watch Jesus from the back of the crowd is over. The time to watch Jesus at a comfortable distance is finished. What's blocking your view today? What is blocking your view? It's probably already come in your mind. Some problem, some sin, something you're still guilty about that Jesus has forgiven you of. There could be some person in your life that's holding you back. Disappointment, some mistake you can't get over. You need to climb so you can see over that thing. Don't let anything block you. Don't let anything stand between you and Jesus. Climb high enough so you can see over it. Oh, there he is. This is the view I was looking for. Now I can really see him. Do you need to forgive someone? Just forgive them and let it go. That's look for things around you to climb. Man, this offense is blocking me. I need to climb up. I need to forgive and get that out of my way. Is it a sin? Get that out of your way. You don't need anything standing between you and Jesus. Maybe you're thinking, I need to get in a life group. I'm not in a small group. I need some people around me. Man, that'll help you climb. Take another step up. Maybe you want to join the ministry team here. So take a step up. Maybe you're at that place where you're like, man, maybe I need to finally get baptized. Do it. Take that step. Whatever you need to do to climb, just one more step up so you have a better view of who Jesus is. One more step. Every time you climb, you can see him more clearly. You see who Jesus is. Do whatever it takes to climb until you see Jesus. That's what Zacchaeus would tell us. Everything you need to see Jesus or to get closer to him is right there in your life right now. It could even be your bad situation. And when I have bad situations in my life, those are things that Pastor Carrie and I have learned to use as stepping stones. And if something bad happens in your life, use that to get you closer to Jesus. Don't let it block you. Use that. And Jesus, I'm going to learn something from this. God, I'm going to see your faithfulness. I'm going to step up. Pastor Carey would tell you, we've climbed higher through bad situations and disappointments and pain in our life than we have in the good times. Sometimes in the good times, you're just coasting along. Man, this is nice. But when some trouble happens, then you're on your face praying, right? Man, everything's good. Maybe you back off a little bit, but man, something comes up. Use that thing. If you really believe that everything in your life will work out for the good for those who love Jesus, if you believe that, then everything that happens is a stepping stone. And this isn't what I expect in life, but I'm just going to step up on it. I'm going to climb up on the branch of this bad situation because I'm going to see Jesus. This is a great way to make decisions in your life. And you have a decision to make. Ask yourself this. Which one will take me higher? Which one will make me a better person? Which one will affect my view in a positive way? What will take me closer to Jesus? That will help you make decisions. I'll go even further. That will help you in choosing relationships. Who will take me higher? who if I have this relationship, who is going to give me a more positive view? Who's going to help me get closer to Jesus? The third thing we learn from this, receive him joyfully. Receive him joyfully. I promise that's water. Luke chapter 19, verses 5 through 6. Jesus comes to the place. He looks up and says to Zacchaeus, "Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today." So he hurried and came down and received him joyfully. Man, can you picture this wee little man, as the song says, up in that tree? He did everything possible for him to do. He was seeking, he was climbing, and he got Jesus' attention. And Jesus looks up to him and says, "Zacchaeus, come down. I'm going to your house today." Zacchaeus, probably like many of us, felt like, "I am the least one in this entire crowd that Jesus would ever walk with." Have you ever felt like that? Man, you better believe the chief tax collector there was thinking, "There's no way Jesus is ever going to go home with me, but I'm going to climb anyway." Then for Jesus to stop and say, "Zacchaeus, come down, I'm going to your house." And it says he hurried down. I wish I could have seen that little man coming down that tree so fast. And it says he received him joyfully. He received Jesus joyfully. Remember when we read Jesus weeping over Jerusalem because they didn't know the time of their visitation? Zacchaeus didn't miss it. He knew the time of the visitation. He knew the time where Jesus was visiting his life. He climbed the tree at the right moment when he knew Jesus is coming by. I'm going to be at the right spot so I can see him. Every single week, we have this opportunity, not Jesus physically, but the Spirit of God is in this place. What are you going to do with your moment? Do you miss the time of your visitation? Or like Zacchaeus, do you recognize Jesus is coming my way? I'm going to recognize this moment. I'm not going to miss it. I want to receive him joyfully. Zacchaeus didn't make the mistake. He welcomed him. He received him. What a joy to recognize the moment, to recognize the time, and to take joy in it. Isaiah 55, 6 says, "Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near." Jesus is near right now. He's near to every single one of you. He's in this place. His Spirit is here right now, and he wants to come home with you. Will you receive him joyfully? Are you at a point in your life where you're willing to say, "Hey, nothing else matters. I'm ready to climb. I'm going to chase him like I mean business. I'm tired of playing around. I'm tired of seeing him from the back of the room. I'm going to climb." And I love this part. Just quickly, verse 7. When the religious people saw it, they all grumbled, "He has gone to be the guest of a man who is a sinner." The people were talking bad about Zacchaeus. The people were talking bad about Jesus. But if you climb, Jesus will stand by you no matter what people say. Think about that for a moment. If you take that posture, "Hey, I've got the posture of humility. I've got the posture of seeking. I've got the posture of sincerity. I'm going to climb." Jesus will stand by you, and it won't matter what anyone else says. What do you think the crowd said to Zacchaeus? Things you've probably heard before. "Zacchaeus, what are you doing going up that tree? What are you doing climbing a tree? I've never seen you climb before. Why are you so interested in Jesus? You've never been interested in Jesus before." You've heard that. I heard that when we started following Jesus. "And what's wrong with you, Chris? You've never been interested in religion before. You've never been interested in God. You've never been interested in Jesus. Get down out of that tree. What are you doing up there? You have no business climbing to see Jesus. Who do you think you are? You're a sinner." Zacchaeus didn't listen to the crowd. He didn't listen. There's voices in your life trying to stop you. You're trying to climb. I know it. I see it in your faces. There's people here that are trying to climb, and there's people in your life saying, what do you think you're doing in that tree? Why are you looking for Jesus? You can't get close to him. Zacchaeus didn't let anything stop him. Jesus stood by him. Jesus picked him out from everyone else. Judgment from man doesn't matter when you have been accepted by God. Judgment from man does not matter when you have been accepted by God. Zacchaeus didn't care what anyone else had to say. Number four, as we continue and see the gospel in these verses, number four was repent of your sins. Zacchaeus said to the Lord, behold, Lord, half of everything I have I'm going to give to the poor. And if I've cheated anyone, I'm going to give it back four times the amount that I cheated. He repented. Man, half of what I have. Some of you may be driving home today and Jesus has touched you in such a way you're like, I'm just going to pull over and give my car to someone and I'm going to call a paycheck. You don't have to do that, right? You don't have to do that. It's not about the amount. What happened in Zacchaeus' life was when Jesus comes to your house, nothing else matters. This money, I don't even care about this. Zacchaeus was thinking then, I don't even know what to do with this. I'll give it to the poor. I'll pay back everyone I cheated. Jesus is in my house. Man, when Jesus comes home with you, nothing matters. Nothing else matters. His position didn't matter. The money didn't matter. The things didn't matter. All that mattered was Jesus is right here. He's in my house. I don't know why he's in my house. He has to know everything I've done in my life. He has to know my past. But here he is in my house, and I'm not going to miss the time of my visitation. He repented not out of fear, but because of the kindness of Jesus, who was willing to come to his house, the house of a sinner. And the last one, number five, salvation has come to your house. Jesus said, today, salvation has come to this house. If you do these things that Zacchaeus is teaching, these four things, then the fifth one, salvation will come to your house. Salvation will come to your house. Do you know Zacchaeus' name means clean and pure? How many of you in your life would say, man, I just want to be clean? Sometimes you have that feeling, man, I feel like sin is all over me. I just want to be pure. I just want to be clean. Zacchaeus' name meant clean and pure, but he was never who he was born to be until that day when Jesus came to his house. For the first time in Zacchaeus' life, he was clean. He was pure. It didn't even make sense before. But today, Jesus is here. I'm clean. I'm pure. My life is different. I have a purpose. My life has meaning. Man, do you want to be who you were born to be? Let Jesus come home with you today. Let Jesus come to your house today. Man, Sunday is awesome. I love this. But if Jesus doesn't leave here with you, this doesn't even matter. Sunday's great. I get to hang out with Jesus and you guys. But on Monday, I'm still hanging out with Jesus. The only difference is you guys aren't there. I would love to do this every day, by the way. But we have other things, right? Take Jesus with you. It's not just for us to visit Jesus. If you just visit Jesus, you're missing something. Jesus came to visit you and to go home with you. Would you stand up with me, please, so I can pray over you? Don't miss the opportunity. Don't miss the time of your visitation. God is here right now. Your question should be, what must I do to be saved? And the answer is, climb until you see him. The prayer should be, have mercy on me, I'm a sinner. And the answer is, today I'm going to your house. Would you close your eyes? If you're here today and when I mentioned something blocking you, something you've been seeing Jesus behind, if something comes to your mind, would you raise your hand? If there's something in your life that's been blocking your view, would you just raise your hand so I can pray for you? Something's been in the way. Maybe it's a sin. Maybe it's a relationship. Maybe it's a problem. Maybe it's a hurt. Maybe it's shame. Maybe it's guilt. Maybe it's even religion. And religion can get in our way and we can't see Jesus. Lord, I want us today, as we pray, Lord, I pray that you would put this prayer in our heart, that we would say, I want to climb. I want to chase you, Lord, like I mean business. Lord, I pray that that would be the prayer of every single person here with their hand raised, that today they would say, that thing is not going to block me anymore. That thing is not going to stand in my way any longer. I'm going to climb till I can see over it. I see Jesus. I'm going to climb. I'm going to chase him like I mean business, because nothing else matters in my life than to be closer to Jesus, closer to the one who saved me. Lord, I pray your blessings over your people today. Lord, I pray that no one leaves this place feeling unimportant or insignificant, but that through the story of Zacchaeus, we would be reminded that there was no one so small that you don't pay attention. Because it's not our position, it's our posture. Everyone in this room with a posture of seeking, with a posture of climbing, they have your full attention, Lord. Go with them, Lord. Bless them. Let us be free to follow you. Lord, I pray that the voices around us that try to hinder us, that we would climb high enough that we don't even hear those voices anymore. That we would climb high enough that we only hear your voice. We love you, Lord. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.